This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's podcast is in tribute to New Orleans music legend Alan Toussaint.
Now is the time. Now is the time for all good men to get together with one another. Iron out their problems and iron out their quarrels and try to live as brothers. And try to find peace within without stepping on one another. And due respect to the women of the world, just remember we all had mothers. Make
this land. Alan Toussaint died on Monday, November 9th at age 77. A heart attack claimed his life shortly after he had completed a concert in Madrid. The news of his passing hit me hard the following morning, and later that night, as I presented a few sets of music in his memory, I struggled to maintain my composure. I've hosted scores of memorial tributes over nearly 40 years in radio, but few have been so challenging. The unanticipated suddenness of his death has something to do with it, but I think it has more to do with the respect he so gracefully commanded. As Dr. John put it, he was a prince of a man, and that's made the loss feel all the more grievous. Alan Toussaint produced the earliest recordings on the iconic New Orleans vocalist Aaron Neville. Neville said, "He believed in me during my early days of singing. He produced my first recordings on Minute Records. He also recorded songs for my brother Art. I know he is loved by a lot of people from New Orleans and around the world for helping them in their careers. He was a great person and a great songwriter and producer. But most of all, he was a gentleman."
It's raining so hard. Looks like it's gonna rain all night. And this is the time I'd love to be holding you tight. But I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish this rain would hurry up and end, my dear.
A BBC documentary from 2012 emphasizes that the New Orleans-born pianist was less well-known than his songs were, and that his life was spent mostly behind the scenes of an extraordinarily successful songwriting, record-producing, and hit-making enterprise. The license plates on the pair of Rolls Royces he drove spelled out his two greatest skills, songs and piano. There were two distinct patterns to his sartorial style as well, fine suits and colorful sports jackets over fisherman's sandals. Toussaint was confidently plain-spoken about his achievements, but he was unduly modest about his vocal abilities, casting himself as a singer who demoed songs for persons better equipped to put them over. He shied away from being the front artist, as how his friend Irma Thomas saw it. So it was left to her and Lee Dorsey, Benny Spellman, Ernie Cado, Jesse Hill, Lloyd Price, Art and Aaron Neville, Herb Alpert, Al Hurt, Dr. John, the Rolling Stones, Bonnie Raitt, Patti LaBelle, and Elvis Costello, among many others, to give expression to his vision.
I wore my finest suit of clothes, the sharpest thorn defending the rose, hard as a pistol, keen as a blade, the sharpest thorn upon parade. And it's the same most every year.
Toussaint said his appreciation for the musical world of his hometown began at the age of consciousness. He fell in love at first touch with the piano, an experience that he described as instant gratification. His family home had a piano, and while their economic status was modest, his father spent 40 years working as a mechanic on the L&N Railroad. He said his mother thought of herself as pretty upper crust. Classical music was prominent in the household on Sundays, and while he had ears for everything and even enjoyed playing waltzes, a decidedly unhip music in the hood, his first love was boogie-woogie. Professor Longhair became his idol. "I didn't want to be like him, I wanted to be him," he admits. He was 16 when he saw Fess for the first time playing a humble little spinet at a record hop. A few years later, at a record shop on Rampart Street, he discovered the man he revered as the Bach of rock, working as a backroom stock clerk. He was so taken by the sight of him that the anomaly of Fess working a day job didn't cross his mind until later on. Years later, he and Fess and Tuts Washington were profiled in the documentary Piano Players Rarely Play Together. And in subsequent interviews and documentaries, Toussaint continually hailed Professor Longhair.
Anywhere I am, there's a bit of Tipitina. Anywhere I am, there's a bit of Tipitina. Anyone from New Orleans knows exactly what I mean.
Among Toussaint's best-known songs is Southern Nights, which Glen Campbell rode to the top of the charts in 1977, but at too brisk a tempo. This sweet song that Toussaint described as a little movie of my life as a child was truly meant to be sung by the composer himself. At the Joe's Pub performance of Southern Nights that's heard on his 2013 release, Songbook, he breaks away from the tune for several minutes to recall the extended family gatherings that inspired the song.
And this was before children owned the world. And they'd be talking as I'd hear these old folk talking. It was wonderful because I knew that everything that was important in the whole world was on this porch.
When I played the Joe's Pub version of Southern Nights and Jazz on the Mode two nights in a row, a listener in Vermont emailed to say, "Hearing it last night made me flat out cry, I'm not ashamed to say. And now hearing Southern Nights again tonight makes me realize I could hear you play this every single night of every single show you ever do, and it would never be too much. It's just so beautiful, especially with that narration."
Southern night. Have you ever felt a southern night?
In 1938, the folklorist Alan Lomax famously recorded Jelly Roll Morton at the Library of Congress. Over the course of a few days, the pianist, in the service of his claim that he was the inventor of jazz, played numerous examples of how he saw the music develop in New Orleans. Toussaint provides a more compact perspective on the Crescent City's music in a 2007 interview with the library's Larry Applebaum. Toussaint was part of the New Orleans diaspora by the time the interview was filmed in 2007. Hurricane Katrina had destroyed his home and studio in New Orleans, and he spent most of the last 10 years of his life residing in New York. The interview concludes with him playing out his feelings for his hometown, not with one of his own elegiac songs, but the poignant standard, "Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans?" Here it's played by Toussaint's New Orleans colleague, Ellis Marsalis. The BBC also caught up with Toussaint a few years after Katrina. Their excellent hour-long documentary includes the voices of many of his contemporaries and has great footage of Toussaint, Lee Dorsey, Irma Thomas, and Dr. John. David Simon, the creator of the HBO series in which Toussaint appeared, posted a eulogy on his blog site, The Audacity of Despair. He joins the chorus of people who recognized in Toussaint a great and good man. Simon says, "He understood our intentions and purpose immediately and made himself available not only to honor his own artistic contributions, which are vast and enduring, but those of other artists for whom he arranged live, on-camera performances and then accompanied with his requisite precision at the piano. He gave himself over to these moments easily and warmly." Simon's tribute also has a great story involving the actor Wendell Pierce's brusque encounter with Toussaint's firm, no-nonsense orientation to his music.
Sometimes
Sometimes I feel so weary, traveling through life alone. Sometimes I feel so
Last June, after the massacre of 9 black churchgoers in Charleston, South Carolina, New Orleans Mayor Mitch Landrieu proposed the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee, commander of the Confederate Army, from the St. Charles Avenue traffic circle. Since then, the city has buzzed with discussion of whether Confederate monuments should be removed altogether, and if so, what should replace them. A petition is now circulating to rename the traffic circle after Alan Toussaint. The petition reads, "There isn't a more fitting individual or a less divisive solution to the monument issue. Few New Orleanians have contributed so much to the city, the nation, and the world, advancing our culture, creating amazing music with such an amazing array of artists." For additional material on Alan Toussaint, including the Library of Congress interview and the BBC documentary, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Meaney.